This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it is hump day, and you have made it over halfway through the week, and life is good. It is so good right now. There are just awesome things happening, and I'm so excited to talk about these things tonight. Excited about the direction this country is going. We are going to discuss the return of American hostages held overseas. In fact, I'm probably going to start out with that. We're going to talk about the end, the beginning of the end of that terrible, god-awful war in Ukraine. We're going to talk about funding communism. We're going to make fun of the American media, the hive mind, all that, AI, so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to first start out with this wonderful thing. There's a bunch of wonderful things right now. You've already heard by now, because it happened last night, actually happened about the time the show ended last night. Mark Fogel had been held by Russia for 4 years. Mark Fogel got released by Russia 3 weeks into the Donald Trump presidency. Mark Fogel sounded pretty happy.
I want you to know that I am not a hero in this at all. And President Trump is a hero. These men that came from the diplomatic service are heroes.
Sounds like a pretty happy man. His sister sounds pretty pleased as well. This is Mark Fogel's sister.
My mother went to the Trump rally and saw President Trump shortly before he was shot.
In Butler,
so
right?
Butler,
where she's from.
It was just a crazy turn of events. And he told her then that if he was elected, he was going to get him out. And the man was true to his word.
Let's talk about something. Something we've talked about in the past. But let's talk about something. Being a citizen. Of whatever you happen to be a citizen of. Now, I'm an American citizen. I realize we have listeners all over the world now, which is wild. Maybe you're a Canadian citizen. Maybe you're American. Maybe you're Australian. Maybe you're Polish. But whatever. Being a citizen. Why bother? Why bother? Human beings, from old days, why bother starting a little tribe? Why bother becoming a part of a city-state, a country, whatever you... What is the point? Why would I ever do that? You know me. I like to do whatever I want, say whatever I want. I'm sure you're the same. So why bother becoming a citizen? The reason mankind has chosen to become part of a larger group, citizenship, is because it provides protection. Yes, it can provide more wealth being part of a bigger group, but the main reason you become part of a group is it provides protection. This does not just apply to Americans. If you're if it's the year 1000 and you're out on the Asian steppe, this wild place, and you may say you're even tough as nails and you got your horses and you got a wife and you got kids and you're good to go. Guess what? I don't care how tough you are. You try to make it on your own out there. Some group of really, really bad people, they're going to show up and cut your head off in about 15 minutes. So you better find other people who share your values. And you better make your home with them, providing protection. That is the nature. That is the point of citizenship. We've brought up the story a million times, the story of Paul in the New Testament. I love this story where he's getting flogged. And finally, Paul drops the ultimate card. Hey, should you be doing this to a Roman citizen? And the officials were all, whoa, hey, sorry, my bad. Nope, my bad. That's what being a citizen is. You see, you have duties as a citizen to your country. I have duties as a citizen to my country. I believe in service to my country. That's how much I love it. I believe in paying my taxes, following the laws. I have duties, but they have duties back to me. And maybe the main duty of your government, no matter where you're listening to the sound of my voice, no matter how big your country or tribe is, the main duty of your government is to protect you. That's the only point. That's the only point in being a citizen, to protect you. It is a contract between citizens and their government. It is not a one-way street. Evil tyrants now and forever have thought it is a one-way street that goes one way. Oh, that peasant is only there to serve me, pay your taxes, fight in my wars. Oh, you need something? Too bad, so sad. No, that's how evil tyrants think. It goes both ways. I have a duty to this government. The government has a duty back to me. And that duty is this. No matter where I go on this planet, whether it's Calcutta, London, Australia, Mozambique, and anywhere in between, I am an American citizen, and I walk around with an unspoken layer of protection around me that says, if you mess with me as an evil government, as a terrorist group, as in anything, you will have the American government coming down on you like hellfire. That is the point of citizenship. I am so happy and grateful that Trump has made this a priority. And to his credit, he did it the first 4 years too. It was one of the best parts of his presidency. Trump brings our people home. It's what he believes in. And you know what's really, really sad? I'm not going to go off on this because I'm so happy. You know, that should be every president. No matter the party. No matter whether you vote for them. No matter you agree with them, disagree with them, whether it's Joe Biden, Barack Obama, George Bush, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, I don't care who, it doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter political beliefs. If an American citizen is held against their will abroad, the American president, no matter his party, should realize it is his duty, it is his obligation to go get them. That is the duty of an American president, no matter your party. That's how it should be. But we have gotten to this horrible place as a country here where the Democrat Party has become so evil and self-serving that the only time Joe Biden bothered to lift a finger to go get someone who had been taken captive is when he thought he could get cultural Marxist points. He didn't bother ever to go after anybody until they grabbed a black lesbian, and then he realized he could get a couple check marks in the old diversity tree, and he went chasing down Brittany Griner from Russia. He ignored the United States Marine who had been held in Russia longer than Brittany Griner, but he wanted the lady who can brick some layups because she was going to help him with his party. It gets poll tested, and it should never, ever, ever be that. An American citizen being held against his will abroad should be priority one for every president, no matter what. And Donald Trump has been awesome about that. And I love seeing Americans come home because it inspires me. It inspires me. It lets me know that that one-way street of duty is gone. What? It's gone. I know today if I have to go fly somewhere overseas, and something happens to me. I don't even know Trump. I don't know him personally. Never said a word to him. Never met the man. I know. In fact, I've been critical of the man in the past. I know they will come get me. That's awesome. And people say, why? Hey, why is Trump able to do this? I saw this all over the place today. Maybe you said it. Why does Trump do this and Biden can't? Well, Steve Witkoff, he's one of the guys over there negotiating things. He explained it.
I can tell you that the president's direction to me was bring him home. Do what you needed to do to bring him home. Bring him home to his family. And you can see, he stayed up last night to greet him personally. He walked him around, gave him a tour of the White House, brought him into the Lincoln Room. His message was, no one gets left behind. That was a message of hope to every American who is being held in a foreign jail.
Gosh, I could stand up and salute right now. That's how an American president conducts himself. That's what you have every right to expect. And that it's happening now, I love it. So why? Chris said why? Why everyone's asked all day? Why can Trump do it and the others can't or won't? Why didn't Joe Biden do this? Why? Mark Fogel was held in Russia for virtually the entire Joe Biden presidency. never lifted a finger. Well, you know how to be a good dad? I'm certainly not the best dad in the world, I promise you that, but I guarantee you, you can be a good dad if you do one thing. And it's not, you know, you have to do this. You have to teach him to shoot. You have to teach him sports. You have to teach him manners. You have to do... Just care. You love them and care about them, you'll be a good dad, no matter what. They're not going to turn out perfect, and you're not going to be perfect. You'll be a good father, I promise you. Why does Trump get our people home? Why didn't Joe Biden? It really comes down to this. It's not master deal making. Donald Trump gives a crap. Donald Trump cares. Joe Biden couldn't care less. That's the truth. I have one more word on this because one of our citizens was just killed. I have one more word on this, and then we're going to talk about a bunch of other stuff. Looks like we're going to end a war, and great things are happening out there. However, great economic things are not happening out there. And this is something that we've talked about before. We have to gird our loins for this. Federal Reserve Chairman Powell tells the Senate panel he's not sure when mortgage rates will go down. It's all over the place. Financially, the debt's all still there and the ground is shaky. So just protect yourself. Precious metals are the only way you can protect yourself from a financial storm. You can't control the value of the dollar and the debt and all this other stuff. All you can do is get ready. Gold Co. will get gold or silver into your retirement account as a protection for it so you don't get wiped out and lose everything. They'll get physical gold and silver in your hands. It's the company with 6,000 five-star reviews, A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau, numerous awards over the last 10 years for a reason. Go to jessielikesgold.com or you can call them 855-817-8255. Gold. Paid for by Gold Co. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day. Reminding you, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. One more word on this, on being a citizen, on how wonderful it is to finally have a president who gives a crap if you're held overseas or harmed overseas. He's going to go do something about that. It just inspires me as an American citizen. I love it. And it's one of the things I despise so much about the Biden presidency. They just never cared. That's all it takes is caring. You don't have to be a master deal maker like Trump or something like that. All you have to do is care enough. Care enough to go get them. You can get them. You're the American president with more power in your hands than most people will ever have. Well, than really anybody will ever have in their lifetime. If there's an American held somewhere, you can go get them. And on the same note, if there's an American harmed somewhere, you can ensure there will be hell to pay. I saw this story from Breitbart today, and I connected the two, and it made me feel good. There's a story out of Breitbart. U.S. citizen kidnapped and killed, leaving a Mexican border city government building. He's 81 years old. Jose de la Luz Martinez Ramirez was his name. He had to go down to Reynosa, Mexico, and pay taxes. He was just an 81-year-old guy going down there to pay his taxes. That's it. Walks to his truck, gets jumped by a couple dirt balls. They find his body in a ditch. He's dead. Now, obviously, that's a horrible story, and please pray for Mr. Ramirez's family. But I look at this story, and I think how different my response to this story is now than it would have been even a month ago. A month ago, it just would have been sad, and I'm angry, and these dirt balls. But then I would have tossed the story aside. Now I look at this story, and it's still sad, and I'm still angry, but I think to myself, ooh, someone's going to die for that. And that's exactly how it should be. That's exactly how it should be. People should be afraid to touch you when they find out you're an American citizen abroad. It should fill them with fear, just like Paul in the New Testament. I'm a Roman citizen. Oh, crap. Get him a blanket and some water. It should fill them with fear. And I don't know much. But I bet you this. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. I bet you before too long we will read a story that the gunmen responsible for this are either dead or in U.S. custody. There. I'm going to set that aside. Now, there's another wonderful thing happening. I feel like it's all sunshine and rainbows today. I can't help it. I'm in a great mood. There's just great things happening in the country. This morning, woke up to the same thing you woke up to. Trump put out a long public statement, which I'm not going to read right now verbatim. It's just too long, too boring for radio, that he had a long phone call with Vladimir Putin. He said, we talked, and we have so much in common, and a bunch of that fluffy, you know, just kind of a buttering up stuff. But the gist of it was, the beginning of the end of that war in Ukraine has begun. Trump has directed Rubio and others, go over there, boots on the ground. It's time to sit down and hammer out a deal to end this thing. Pete Hegseth is in on this as well, as he should be, sounding good.
As the war approaches its third anniversary, our message is clear. The bloodshed must stop, and this war must end. President Trump has been clear with the American people and with many of your leaders that stopping the fighting and reaching an enduring peace is a top priority. He intends to end this war by diplomacy and bringing both Russia and Ukraine to the table. We want, like you, a sovereign and prosperous Ukraine. But we must start by recognizing that returning to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective.
And this comes back to, honestly, it comes back to what I said in the very opening of the show. I realized the corruption that had been happening in Ukraine for the longest time. And yes, I understand that maybe you don't know this. Most of you do. Back in 2014, we, the United States of America, more specifically Joe Biden and that vile little communist Victoria Nuland, they engineered a coup in Ukraine. A coup. They had a democratically elected government. The American communists, Victoria Nuland, Joe Biden types, didn't like it. And there's all kinds of reasons behind that. And so they overthrew the friggin' government. And now we have this dirtball government they have now. But all that stuff aside, why didn't Joe Biden want this to end? I know that his family's corrupt and all that. I get all that, but it should be another universal thing. And it was always understood that this was kind of our role in the world, that the American president should step in, even in conflicts that aren't ours, step in, let's hash something out, work something out, and stop the carnage. And this goes, this goes back pre-Woodrow Wilson, although Woodrow Wilson didn't exactly do a great job. This is how all American presidents, Democrat or Republican, should be. Let's stop people dying, stop this carnage, and let's get back to normal. One more word on that, and then we'll get to other stuff in a moment. Before we do that, I love my blender. I friggin' love it. I'm telling you, man, the obliterator is... If it sounds weird that I love my blender, let me explain. Ob and I have struggled for the longest time to find one that doesn't break. I guess that's the biggest thing, because what she makes in these smoothies and stuff, she's always dumping, there's frozen things in there, frozen all this, and frozen that, and the ice cubes and whatnot. And yeah, every blender works great for about 6 months, and then boom, they crap out. It won't blend everything. Well, I can't drink these disgusting smoothies if there's gross vegetable chunkies in there. The obliterator is built like a freaking tank. Premium blender without dropping hundreds of bucks. And they have all kinds of stuff at chefman.com. You save 15% site-wide. CHEFMAN.com. Promo code Jesse saves you 15% off everything you find there. Chefman.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I'm going to get to the Trump ending the Department of Education thing here in just a moment. I was just talking with Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey during the break. You have any idea what it's like trying to keep up with the breakneck pace of this administration? So here's a little, well, I'll give you one more word on Russia-Ukraine in a moment, but here's a little tidbit. I believe this was from J.D. Vance, but it might have been from someone else in the White House. Trump, remember I told you he wants to just blow things out of the water for 4 years? He intends to do big things. Trump keeps telling his people, how many days do we have left? What else can we do? How much time do we have left? Acting with a desperate purpose, I guess I'll put it that way, that is, it's so unreal to see. And it makes doing radio, it makes doing it, one, it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun not waking up losing every freaking day. But two, it's a little challenging to stay on everything else. I haven't even gotten to ending the Department of Education yet, which that was, I would say, probably an hour ago, maybe less than an hour ago that came out. You can't even get to that right now. I'm talking about other stuff. All right. One more word on the Russia-Ukraine thing before I get to the end of the Department of Education. I know this is not something that is near to your heart or my heart, for the most part. I realize there are some Ukrainians listening, some Russians listening, people with family over there. But for the most part, because it's on foreign soil, it's just not something we wake up thinking about. I don't. I'm not acting like I do. I don't. But remember, the casualty numbers that we don't know, we think. Everything's an estimate, and everyone lies about everything during war. Ukraine lies, Russia lies, we lie, everyone lies. But the casualty estimates we have, they're what we lost in World War II. Us, the United States of America. Those are the kind of numbers we're dealing with. It's easy to think about Russia, Ukraine as some kind of little regional thing. They're squabbling over a little border thing. I mean, what's the big deal? A little of this, little of that. Who cares? It's not some global scale. 500,000 more gone. And while I personally didn't know any of those Ukrainians and I didn't know any of those Russians, I don't know any of them. Isn't that so freaking sad? I've always thought that is just, it's so incredibly sad. Not just loss of life, but loss of life on a scale like that. How long does it take for a country to overcome losing a generation or two of their young men? They're all gone. All gone. And to know, like we talked about a little bit last night, to know that the Biden administration, they could have ended this war too. They could have if they wanted to. They never once showed any desire for it to end. Didn't matter what the realities were or anything else. They just didn't care. But that's what you get when you deal with communists, because communists are what? Anti-humans. Solzhenitsyn's called them the enemy of humanity. The communist, whether he's American, Soviet, Chinese, or otherwise, does not look at loss of life ever on any scale. Doesn't matter how much loss of life there is, and feel genuine human emotion because he's an anti-human. In the same way, I've explained it this way, and it's true. In the same way, there is no number of the amount of ants you could step on that would make you feel sorrow, that would make your heart tug. Oh, the poor ants. I wasn't that bummed. It was 100, but gosh, I've stepped on 1,000 and my heart's breaking. Sounds ridiculous, right? That's exactly what the loss of human life means for the communist. It means nothing. The only time he even pretends it means anything is when he feels like he can use it to push the revolution forward. You know, a mass shooting. Hey, better give me your guns. A bunch of people died in a flood in North Carolina. Hey, screw those dumb hicks, but climate change is real. I mean, that's how the communist thinks. All right. Now, we've already covered hostage rescues, Russia, Ukraine. Let's deal with the other thing. Remember, There are a bunch of pillars holding up American communism, but the two main ones, the biggest, strongest ones there are the fact that it's funded mostly with your money, funded and organized, and the second pillar of American communism is we've allowed our mortal enemies, we've allowed these communists to educate our children for years. Years and years and years. And listen, yes, Chris, I do want that. Listen, Chris brought it up. It's a good point. I'm going to let Yuri Bezmenov play for you why that's so important and why the Soviets were so purposeful about infiltrating American education. They always understood that no matter what else happens in a society, if you're patient enough to play the long game, just figure out how to get in there so you can be the one educating the kids and you will eventually conquer a nation. And Yuri Bezmenov, famous Soviet defector, KGB defector, Yuri Bezmenov, this is a longer clip, we played it for you before, came out and said this.
Ideological subversion is the slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, aktivnye meroприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United
pause
States...
On, pause on that real quick, Chris. Remember, this interview he gave was in the 80s, early 80s, 1981, I believe. I might be wrong about that, but I know it was the 80s. He said they'd already had three generations. Now, do the math. We're 40 years past that. We are now at five generations of the communists educating America's kids. Go ahead, Chris.
American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
The two main pillars of American communism, the only reason it's held up for so long, the only reason there really is a still functioning Democrat Party, is they've figured out a way to use your own tax dollars to fund themselves. And they figured out decades ago that if they just educate your kids to hate you and your country, they can have everything. That brings us to what Trump did today. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris bringing us back with famous Russian band, the Beatles. Thank you for that, Chris. Now, we already discussed, one, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And two main pillars of American communism. Using your own money to fund their activism and educating your children to hate you. And the Department of Education turned into a central hub of that about 5 minutes after it was created. It wasn't enough for the communists to just allow this county or this state or this city. Hey, let's just get our communist administrators, communist teachers in here. Hey, let's take over history. Let's write the history books. The only thing we'll teach them about American history is massacring the Native Americans and, of course, slavery, of course. That wasn't enough for them. They wanted to centralize everything so they could ensure centralized government power where they will take millions and millions of your dollars in, figure out a way to disseminate information out, and teach the entire country, all 50 states, to hate the United States of America. You see, you don't have to teach a third grader about the greatness of Vladimir Lenin to turn him into an America-hating communist. You just have to teach him that America kind of sucks. And if you can get him down that road, eventually he'll become a communist anyway. And today, I just can't even believe that it's Trump who did this. And the reason I say that is Donald Trump is not some kind of libertarian, small government conservative by his own admission. He's never claimed that at all. He's much more of a populist, Teddy Roosevelt type Republican. All these Republicans have railed against the Department of Education forever. And here comes the former Democrat New York businessman. He's the one that's going to take it down.
Look, the Department of Education's a big con job. We're ranked, so they rank the top 40 countries in the world. We're ranked number 40th. But we're ranked number one in one department, costs per pupil. So we spend more per pupil than any other country in the world. But we're ranked number 40. We've been between 38 and 40. The last time I looked, it was 38. And then I looked 2 days ago, it came out the new list. It came out at number 40. So we're ranked 40. Norway, Denmark, Sweden, I hate to say it, China, as big as it is, it's ranked in the top five. And that's a primary competitor. We're ranked number 40. So if we're ranked number 40, that means something's really wrong, right? And I say send it back to Iowa, to Idaho, to Colorado. Send it back to places that, and there are a lot of Indiana. You have a great new governor. You have a great senator that Jim Banks just got elected. You got great people. I'll tell you what, Indiana is going to be fantastic. We probably have 35, maybe 37 states that will do as well as Denmark, Norway, Finland, Sweden, they'll be just as good. Then you have the ones that we all know about. It'll be the same story. But you know what? Even they will be good. Because you look at New York, you give it to Westchester County, you give it to Long Island, you give it to Nassau County, you give it to Suffolk County. Same thing you go out to, and you give it to upstate New York. So you'd have four or five sections. You give it to Manhattan. Manhattan's a little bit tougher. For some reason, I don't know why it would be tougher, but it is. You give to California and you go to various areas outside of Los Angeles, and you might have six or seven different subgroups. But generally, like in if you go to Iowa, you give it to Iowa. You don't have subgroups. You have Iowa and other places that do a good job. If they do a good job, they're going to do a great job in education.
Ronald Reagan once famously said, "The closest thing to eternal life on earth is a government program." It's a great line, and it's a true line. And I'm 43 years old. I started getting into politics later in my life. I was always a history buff and whatnot, but I didn't start getting into politics, as you know, until I got out of the Marine Corps. I was probably 24, 25 when I started to get hot into politics. The entirety of my life, I've heard Republican after Republican after Republican claim they're going to end this, they're going to end that, this bureaucracy's going to end, that one's going to end. Today, what's the date? February 12th, 2025 is the first time in my life I've seen a Republican actually begin the slow, steady dismantling of a massively powerful government bureaucracy. Massively powerful. And as he just alluded to there, what this will mean for the vast majority of Americans is going to be such a better, more accountable education system, where control of the education system will get much closer to the hands of the parents where it should be. That's one of the things it'll mean. to another thing it'll mean. Remember that very, very handsome, huge-handed guy on the radio who's been screaming at you to go run for your local school board? That just got 10 times as important because the local school board just got 10 times more powerful and influential than it was before. So if you want to ensure that Aiden, Jaden, and Braden aren't learning how to be gay in the second grade, it would be really, really nice for you to go run for these offices. Yes, you, not your neighbor, not the guy across. I'm not smart enough. Yes, you are. But three, there's another part of this. And it's true, and it's sad, and Trump talked about it. The blue, the heavy, heavy, heavy blue areas of the country, without the subsidized government control, government dollars, they are going to implode on themselves. They're going to go all in. They'll double down, triple down on all the endless DEI insanity. And the heavily blue areas of this country will now produce bigger dollars than they were already producing before. And that's freaking sad for them. But it brings control back in the hands of the local voter. They don't like it. You have more control now than you ever had before to get out and vote out your school board, vote out your city council, vote out your county, vote out your state government. And if you don't, my dad always voted Democrat. Well, enjoy those test scores. You get what you get. Don't throw a fit. Now, maybe you're thinking, I don't have the energy to run for school board. That's because you haven't been taking your male vitality stack from Chalk or your female vitality stack. Yes, ladies, you too. We need men and women involved running for office. Chalk's male vitality stack, female vitality stack, natural herbal supplements, we'll have you bouncing off the walls in a good way. No more afternoon crash. No more afternoon need of that energy drink that's going to make your heart explode. You don't need that when you get your levels where they should be. Probably the biggest thing I hear by email from the men and women who take it is the energy level. You just feel so much better. Your mood, your energy, you're ready to go at all times. That's what Chalk can do for you naturally. The highest quality natural herbal supplements I've ever seen from the anti-communists at Chalk. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. A massive one, actually. So subscribe. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We're finally going to get to some other things like constitutional crisis. Have you seen that? We'll talk about that next.
This is an iHeart podcast.